The costliest storm season on record, and it's not over yet. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. At least four people have been killed and parts of Florida are still under curfew. Meanwhile, insurers are trying to estimate the overall damage of two back-to-back big storms. Harvey is estimated to have caused $40 billion in damage. Irma could make that total as high as $150 billion, though it's still far too early to tell. Bronik Masajada is the chief executive of Hiscox Insurance here in London.
If it continues, if we're to have another significant hurricane, then yes. If you have $150 billion of capital destroyed, I'm afraid the price of capital goes up across the whole world. At the same time, though, there are people like ourselves who have been offered capital from people who are not affected by the losses. So there is capital waiting to come into the insurance industry. And the ultimate outcome will depend very much on the balance of demand from people affected, and then supply from pension funds, wealth funds, investors, in terms of who would like to deploy their capital in the industry. We've had two very big storms, and the hurricane season normally peaks towards the end of September, so there are very sweaty few weeks ahead of us.
Bronik Masajada of Hiscox Insurance. Lots of interesting market news to bring you. Global shares are higher after North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un decided over the weekend to host a party rather than launch another missile to commemorate the nation's birthday. Meanwhile, an index of Europe's insurance companies was set for the best day in more than 4 months, as insured losses from Irma are expected to be less than first thought. China's Hang Seng Index finished up 286 points. Or 1.04%, rather, while France's CAC is up 62 points or 1.23%. Now, Apple's new iPhone launches tomorrow, though some of the details have already been leaked. The iPhone X, if you believe the leaks, has face recognition technology and cordless charging, and it's expected to push further into the luxury smartphone market. The BBC's technology desk editor is Leo Kellyan.
And the significance is that Apple's about to have a very big iPhone launch. This is the launch, effectively, of its 10th anniversary iPhone. People are expecting it to be a big leap forward. And a lot of the secrets in that launch are being disclosed to the public. One company, Observer, who's widely followed on the internet, talked about it not being able to remember any other leak on this scale. It's not what they would have wanted.
And it's come from inside the company.
Well, we believe so, or at least that is the suggestion. There's this blogger, John Gruber, who's known to be quite close to Apple, who put out a piece over the weekend saying that it very much looked like an Apple employee had given out two web addresses to two rumor sites. That link allowed them to download the operating software that hadn't been released to the public. We've independently verified that that does seem to be what happened. It's not clear who that person is who leaked it. But as I said, if it is somebody within Apple, the company will be going to huge lengths to identify them.
If Wall Street had a mayor, he might do what Andrew Parmley does. Mr. Parmley is the Lord Mayor of London, a job that's been around 800 years. As Britain's Parliament votes on the EU withdrawal bill today, I went to find out what he's doing in a historic job that comes in historic times. I have to describe where we're sitting. This building is called Mansion House. The fireplace next to us is at least 2 feet taller than me, and we are in red and gold gilt chairs. This place is a big deal. I mean, 20% of global banking activity comes through your patch.
London is still number one global financial services trading centre. Number one. Has been for a long time. And our view is that it will continue to occupy that position for a very long time to come.
But already, investment banks are relocating to Dublin, to Frankfurt. The projected losses in the City of London as a result of Brexit are estimated to be around $23 billion. You should be more worried, shouldn't you?
Well, let me quantify that in terms of jobs, which is an easy measure. To date, our data tells us that only 500 jobs have relocated. For example, JP Morgan had 500 people in mainland Europe. They've doubled that to 1,000. But that leaves 14,000 here in London. I don't want to be complacent in any way, but there is not a landslide. There's not a mass exodus.
But surely that's because we're only at the starting gate. We don't know what the negotiations are going to bring. The feeling coming out of those meetings is not particularly positive.
It's been a shaky start, I have to say, and the city doesn't like uncertainty. But I feel that we're getting closer every day to some sort of meeting of minds. Part of the Brexit outcome was that a lot of people in the United Kingdom did not understand what London gives to the rest of the country. That's partially my fault and partially the fault of London and the South East in general.
So what needs to change in that relationship?
We need to make it clear to everybody across the country that their future financial security is based on the stability of London.
London has more foreign banks than anywhere else, more than Paris, more than Frankfurt, more than New York. Are we still going to be saying that in 5 years' time, do you think?
I think we are. In my travels, particularly in the emerging economies, people are asking me on a regular basis, can you help me find headquarters for Europe but based in London? They are very happy to put subsidiaries into Europe, but they want their headquarters here.
London's Lord Mayor Andrew Pomley. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
This is APM, American Public Media.